James chapter 4, verse 8 is a familiar verse that we have been focusing on these past few weeks. Draw close to God, and then what's going to happen? All right, let's try that again. Draw close to God and... All right, it's on the screen now, so you can actually read it. Do it one more time. Draw close to God, and He will draw close to you. And that's the focus of our messages this January. And more than the focus of a message, it's what we hear God saying to us as a church, as individuals. As 2015 is upon us, we need to get closer to God individually and together as a church. How many would agree that that is what God's word is saying, God's voice is saying, that God is wanting us to draw closer to Him? So we've talked about how we draw closer to Him through prayer and fasting. Last week, we talked about drawing closer to God through having quiet times, regular quiet times with God, making an appointment with the Lord. So today, I want to talk to you about how we draw closer to God through your spiritual family. One of the ways that we draw closer to God is by being committed to a spiritual family. Now, I've got a story to tell you before I begin today's message, just to provide a little bit of perspective from where I'm coming from. Now, you need to know that the first Super Bowl that I ever watched was when I was 15 years old. Now, you say, Pastor, why did you wait so long to watch the Super Bowl? And I said, there's one reason. I went to church every Sunday night and every Sunday morning and Wednesday night and a lot of Thursday nights. And then there were singings in the afternoons on Sunday. Can I get a witness in the house of God? We did. Matter of fact, there was a guy who came to church one time years ago who sang a song, "What if Jesus came back on Super Bowl Sunday?" It was kind of a funny song, but it was like an ouch. Like, apparently, if you weren't at church on Sunday night and watch Super Bowl, you're going to hell, you know. So anyway, the reason I got to watch the Super Bowl in 1985, I got to watch the Bears beat the Patriots, on 1985, is because it snowed that day. And remember, where I grew up, where I lived, you had to go towards town to go hunting. We lived in the woods, so we lived in a holler. The name of the road was Baker Hollow Road. And so we had these hills to get up, and so we all piling into the, it didn't matter, you know, my dad's a pastor, we got to go, right? We didn't cancel church, you know. You don't cancel church based on a forecast like people do these days. You don't cancel. So we all piled in the 1973 Pontiac Catalina, seven of us, and various and sundry foster kids who were living with us at the time. And we made a run for it up that hill. And we didn't make it. And I'll be honest with you, I was secretly praying we wouldn't make it. And we got back home in time, you know, to cancel church. And I got back at home to see William the Refrigerator Perry cross the goal line and beat those guys. Say, Pastor, are you watching the Super Bowl this year? Well, here's my perfect outcome for the Super Bowl this year. Perhaps one team wins because a player on the other team runs the wrong way for a touchdown, and then nobody wins. I'd be good with that. Here's my big idea for the message today. It's on your notes. Committing to be part of a spiritual family draws me closer to God. If I am committed to a spiritual family, it will help me draw closer to God. Now, every junior Bible quiz kid in our church knows the answer to the question, what verse in Hebrews tells us the importance of church attendance? It's in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, and it's our theme verse for the day. It says, "Let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near." Let me read it to you in another translation, Hebrews 10:25. "We should not stop gathering together with other believers, as some of you are doing." Now, you say, Pastor, what are you talking about? What is the author of this verse? What is he saying? What is God saying about spiritual family and drawing closer to God? How is it that regularly and consistently being part of a spiritual family, how does that draw me closer to God? Let me give you a few encouragements, and then I'm going to give you a warning. Is that okay? So this is a very important message today. The first part is going to be very encouraging to everybody. The last part is going to be a warning. And how many know we need both? Scripture is both. Scripture is both encouraging, and Scripture is a warning. So how does committing to be part of a spiritual family, how does it help me draw closer to God? Here's the first way. A spiritual family is where you are encouraged. Everybody say encouraged. the most obvious reason right here in this verse for regularly meeting together is encouragement. How many know there's something that happens about meeting together consistently with other believers that makes me encouraged? When we worship together, it's a little different than me worshiping by myself. When we pray together, it's a little bit different than me praying by myself. It's just different. I am encouraged. God's Spirit blesses me and encourages me. The Holman Standard Bible puts it this way: not staying away from our worship meetings, as some habitually do, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So the writer is saying that the more you meet together with the family of God, the more encouraged you will be. It happens all the time. It happens every week. I hear about it all the time. Pastor, I came to church. I was discouraged. I was down. But God spoke to me in the worship time. We were praying through the word of God. God encouraged me. We come discouraged. We leave encouraged. That's the purpose of the family of God. Isn't that right? It's the purpose of encouragement. One lady was sharing a testimony with me that somebody that she knew was suffering with cancer, and her testimony to her was that the only time she wasn't suffering with pain was when she was in the worship service in the presence of God. There's something happens when we meet together. There's something happens when we join together as a spiritual family in worship. We get encouraged, right? Now, the people that this was being written to were experiencing persecution and trials. And we see this from the commentary, from Clark's commentary on Hebrews on this verse. Here's what it says. It's as likely that it means here private religious meetings for the purpose of mutual exhortation. And this sense appears the more natural here because it is evident that the church was now in a state of persecution and therefore their meetings were most probably held in private. So this verse, don't stop meeting together as some of you are in the habit of doing, but instead encourage one another. The writer was writing to Christians who were being persecuted, who were going through trials, who were under very difficult times. What the writer is saying, listen, if you don't meet together, you're going to get discouraged. Now, I need your best attention today because I believe this is one of the most important messages I've ever shared at this church. If you don't meet together, the result is you will be discouraged. The more you distance yourself from the family of God, the more you distance yourself from the presence of God. How many know Elijah found that to be true in the Old Testament? He found himself isolated. He found himself cut off from everybody else, even though he had these amazing victories and amazing miracles. And the next thing you know, because he's discouraged, he starts thinking crazy stuff. I'm the only one. Nobody else is serving God. So he starts praying, God, take me home. How many know when you begin to separate yourself from the people of God, you start thinking crazy stuff too? Because when you get discouraged, you feel distant from God and you feel distant from people. So the word of God says, don't stop meeting together. Come close to God by coming together in the house of God. Now, I'm trying to tell you that this morning, God wants us to be encouraged together. Let me illustrate it this way. There was a member of a certain church who previously had been attending services regularly but had stopped going. So after a few weeks, the pastor decides to visit him. It was a chilly night, and the pastor found the man at home alone, sitting before his fireplace with a blazing fire. Guessing the reason for his pastor's visit, the man welcomes him. He leads him to a big chair near the fireplace. The pastor sits down, and the man waits for the pastor to speak. The pastor makes himself comfortable in the chair but says nothing. And in the silence, he just stares at the play of the flames around the burning logs. After a few minutes, the pastor took the fire tongs, carefully picked up a brightly burning ember, and placed it on one side of the hearth all alone. Then he sat back in his chair, still silent. The host watched all this in quiet fascination. As the one lone ember's flame diminished, there was a momentary glow, and then its fire was no more. Soon it was cold and, quote, dead as a doornail. Not a word had been spoken since the initial greeting at the door. Just before the pastor was ready to leave, he picked up the cold, dead ember and placed it back in the middle of the fire. Immediately, it began to glow once more with the light and warmth of the burning coals around it. As the pastor reached the door to leave, his host said, "Thank you so much for your visit and especially for the fiery sermon. I'll be at church next Sunday." There's something that happens together that can't happen alone. When I come together in the house of God, I get encouraged. It gives me life. How many are with me so far? Here's the second reason why we need to, being part of a spiritual family draws us closer to God is because it's a place to belong. Your spiritual family is a place to belong. Why did the Hebrew writer say that you should not stop meeting together regularly and consistently? Is because the more regularly and consistently I meet with my spiritual family, the more I'm going to belong or feel like I belong. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, he goes, now you are not foreigners or strangers any longer, but are citizens together with God's holy people. You belong to God's what? Say it with me. You belong to God's. When you give your heart to Jesus, this is great news. You are not just going to heaven. You're going to heaven with a lot of people. And now they are your family. God calls the church the family of God. God is the father of the church family. Jesus is the big brother of the church family. The people around you are serving God. They are your brothers and sisters in the family of God. And it is a place to belong. Isn't that good news? God has called us to be part of a great family. Now, how many of you are on social media and you have friends, maybe on Facebook or Twitter or all that stuff? You have some friends. That's great. I'm glad you have friends. But do you know what's better than friends? Family. Friends come and go, especially on Instagram. You post too many pictures. What's wrong? You don't want to see my whole life story on Instagram? Yeah, you're gone. You know what's better than that? Family. Family's different. Family's a place where you belong. This is where you belong. Someone might say, you know what, Pastor? Grace is a great church, but I just don't like everyone here. You know, there's some people that go to church here. They just annoy me. You know, they just annoy me. Well, let me give you a revelation. Welcome to family. What family doesn't have some people who annoy you? Or some people who are a little different? And all those family members of mine who are here present in this service or watching online, I am not speaking of you, I'm speaking of other people. Listen, family is hard sometimes, isn't it? Family is awkward sometimes. Family gets complicated sometimes, but you still love your family. You still serve your family, and you don't give up on your family. So if you're here today and you say, you know what, Pastor, I just don't feel like I belong, or I don't feel like I'm connected here at the family. Let me give you a solution for that, and it's one word, and it's called serve. If you want to feel like you belong at this church, you need to serve one another. Let me illustrate. It's kind of like the difference between having a family meal at home and going out to a restaurant to eat. How many know those two are way different? If you go out to a restaurant to eat, your family, you sit around the table, you sit and someone else takes care of everything, right? And they do it. They cook the food. They serve the food. They set the table. They clean up. They do the whole thing. And guess what? If you don't like it, I'd like a comment card, please. The mashed potatoes were a little bit thick, you know, and the chicken was a little bit dry and blah. You know, leave a comment card. I mean, no, you do that at home to your mom, your dad may have something for you, right? You know, if you don't go home to your mom's house, or your dad's house, and you plop down on the chair, dessert, please. At my house, it would be, forget it, right? You know, why are you sitting down at my table? You should be setting the table. You should be getting the dishes out. You should be getting everything out. Are you ready? That's what families do. And guess what? When the dinner is over, you don't get up from the table and leave your plate there. You pick up your plate. You walk it over to the sink or to the trash. You scrape off the stuff you didn't eat, and you take care of your stuff. Am I preaching right? That's the way it is. Some parents are getting very excited. The difference between a restaurant and a family meal is what you contribute. Are you getting this? The church is the same. It's a family. And the more you contribute and serve and become part of this family, the more you'll feel like you belong. Part of our challenge in our culture is that we began to treat the church like a restaurant, right? And we want everybody to do everything for us. And we want to have minimal involvement and minimal commitment. And then we wonder why we feel distant from one another and why we don't feel close to God. Did you know in the scripture there are 57 one another commands in the New Testament? 57 of them. Some of them are be devoted to one another, give preference to one another, love one another, accept one another, admonish one another, greet one another. I don't have time to read all of these, but there's a lot of one another's in the scripture that we're supposed to obey. So I submit to you that it is impossible to obey these one another commands and scriptures by yourself. It's impossible to obey these scriptural commands unless you sink your roots deep and commit yourself to a local church and become part of a church family over the long haul. How many know if you're bouncing around from here to there, then you're never going to be in one place. You're never going to be able to obey the commands of the one another's in the scripture. Are you getting this? We need each other. The body of Christ is a family. And how many know if you're new to following Christ, if you're a spiritual baby in the Lord, that's what the Bible calls those who are new to the faith. The first thing a baby needs is a family. So we need one another. That's why the Hebrew writer said, don't stop meeting together. Don't be inconsistent in your meeting together, but encourage one another. It's a place where you belong. Here's the third reason why it draws us closer to God. Meeting consistently and regularly is a place, it's a place where we grow. It's a place where we grow. Hebrews 10, verse 24, the scripture says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be, say it with me, built up. Until we all reach unity in the faith and then the knowledge of the Son of God and become what? Mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be babies, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will what? We'll grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. So keep that scripture up there for just a second. Who are the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers? Do you guys know what those people are? They're leaders of the church. They're leaders of the spiritual family. And the Bible says that we should, that it gives specific purposes there, that at the church is where we grow. It's where we become mature in the faith and follow Jesus. Can I tell you, and I keep saying this, that the number one challenge in American Christianity is spiritual immaturity. We are not growing, and we need to mature. Let me illustrate it this way. Some time ago, I was at a certain store in Greenwood at a certain mall that some of you have been to. And I was having a conversation with a particular person, and I didn't know who they were, but they knew who I was. I said, hey, Pastor Ryan. I said, hey, great. You know, I go to your church. Great. What's your name? Blah, blah, blah. It's great. It's good. And I said, well, you know, tell me how long you've been coming. He goes, well, you know, I don't just go to your church. I also go to XYZ Church, another church here in the community. He goes, it really depends on the series that you guys are preaching. He goes, if you're preaching a good series, I'll go there. And if you're I wanted to do a dance for him. Do you want me to dance? Now, they probably would have ended up over there permanently if I'd done that, but over where? I wasn't pointing in any general direction. Can I tell you something? You're never going to grow up spiritually that way because you're not going to be accountable to anybody. You're not going to belong to anybody. You're going to be this spiritual vagabond, spiritual tumbleweed with no roots and no strength. And when the storms come, and they will come, come on, somebody, God created this family to help us grow up, to help us mature in the Lord. And that's one of the purposes of meeting together consistently and regularly so that I will grow in the Lord and be like Christ. Now, let me give you this last one. And this is where it's an encouragement and a warning. The result of faithfully being part of God's family is perseverance. The writer of this verse in Hebrews 10, 25 says, don't stop meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. But two verses before that, he says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. So the context of this verse is perseverance. Matter of fact, when you open your Bible, when I open my Bible and I read Hebrews 10, most Bibles, when you read them, they have a title of the paragraph or the section that you're reading. You guys know what I'm talking about? And the title of this particular paragraph says, perseverance. Meeting together consistently at church will help you persevere. It'll help you hold on. It'll help you stay strong, and it will keep you from wavering in your faith. That's exactly what the scripture is saying. Now, let me read to you a few sentences from Matthew Henry's commentary. And sometimes when I say the word commentary, it immediately is like hitting the snooze button. Don't let that happen. It's good stuff. It gives more expose about the scripture. Watch this. Here's what he says. It is the will of Christ that his disciples should assemble together, sometimes more privately for conference and prayer, and in public for hearing and joining in all the ordinances of gospel worship. There were in the apostles' times, and should be in every age, Christian assemblies for the worship of God and for mutual edification. And it seems, even in those times, that there were some who forsook these assemblies and so began to apostatize from religion itself. The communion of saints is a great help and privilege and a good means of steadiness and perseverance. Hereby their hearts and hands are mutually strengthened. Now, some of you are looking at that and you say, Pastor, you lost me at Aeropostale. No, apostatize. Now, that's a big fat, if you put the scripture back up there, apostatize is a big fat theological word that simply means falling away. They began to separate themselves from the church, and then they began to separate themselves from God. Something happens when you begin to separate yourself from the church. You begin to separate yourself from God. This is what the commentator is saying that Hebrews 10:25 is saying. That the purpose of meeting together regularly and consistently is so that you will persevere, so that you won't drift, so that you won't waver, but that you'll be strong in the Lord. These verses are clearly saying that the danger of distancing yourself from the body of Christ is falling away. Apostasy, deception, giving up. So now I'm entering into the warning phase, right? Are you paying attention? I Googled the question, do you have to go to church to get close to God? Or does going to church draw you closer to God? Now, anytime you Google something, you're going to get all kinds of stuff. But I'm going to tell you that 9 out of 10 of the responses that I saw on the search that I did was no. You don't have to go to church to be close to God. And trust me, I say, I didn't have to go fishing for these responses I'm about to share with you. These are right up front, right here. Here's what some people said. You know, Jesus taught out in the open, and he wasn't in a church. Do you really have to go to church in order to be close to God? Can't we just worship him outside? Another person said, a man-made stone building may be a place to meet for Christians, and good luck for those who need this. But as a pagan, albeit someone who used to go to church, I believe God is all around us in nature and the environment, the stars, the clouds, the planet in general, but not the buildings and the structures. Another person said, no, you don't have to go to church to be close to God. Man created church as a place of worship. Now, I could spend hours giving you response after response of people swearing and people all kinds of craziness about the response to this question. But what do all these three responses have in common? They're all deceived. And they believe things that are no longer true. Man created the church? Are you kidding me? Jesus said, on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. Man didn't create the church. God created the church for a reason, for a purpose, for our benefit. Come on, somebody. And the writer was warning people in Hebrews, listen, if you distance yourself from the church, from regularly and consistently meeting with God, you will find yourself thinking stupid stuff, believing crazy stuff. And I promise you, if you'll take a moment and look around, you'll hear it all around. I love the church. I'm a pastor of the church. I grew up in the church. I'm a pastor's kid. I didn't watch the Super Bowl till I was 15 because I went to church so much. Okay? Are you getting this? So when I hear people criticizing the church, it bothers me. I mean, it cuts to the core of my being, not because it's my profession, but because it's the bride of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. We are pledged to Jesus Christ.
So when people start criticizing the church, it's like you're talking bad about Jesus' fiance. And you have to be careful about that. And people are so quick. Can I tell you what it is? It's really the spirit of the age. It's just the spirit of the age. It's the spirit of Antichrist that's growing. Oh, you know, it's freedom. It's progressive. Actually, it's rebellion. I don't want to be accountable to anybody. You can't tell me what to do. It's just guilt and condemnation. You know what it is? You're believing stupid stuff. You're drinking the Kool-Aid that the culture is giving you, and you say, well, I don't need that. You need that. We need each other according to God's word. Why are you so passionate, Pastor? Why is it so urgent about this? Well, because something is happening in the church, and it's not good. Because we are forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Across the country, Tom Rainer wrote a book called I Am a Church Member. And in it, he writes an article called The Number One Reason for Decline in Church Attendance. Let me read just a few excerpts to you. He says, few people will argue that church attendance in many churches in America is declining. Our own research indicates that the majority of churches in our country are not growing. He says, stated simply, the number one reason for the decline in attendance, and he's implying, is not because that there are less and less Christians. Watch this. The number one reason for the decline in attendance is that members attend with less frequency than they did just a few years ago. This matters a lot. Every church I talk with mentions this problem. He says, I've never seen a problem discussed this commonly and a diversity of church sizes and denominational affiliations. So he's saying, this is a problem. Doesn't matter the church size. It doesn't matter the denomination. This is happening. What's the trend? He says that it's that your most committed people will attend worship services less frequently than ever in 2015. What does this mean? Simply that people who used to attend four times a month may only attend three times a month. Members who used to come twice a month will only come once a month. And the article goes on to, and several others talk about the cause of this, what's causing this trend. Several reasons are given why people attend church less frequently. Some people say, well, it's because spiritual priorities are less important. Other reasons include multiple activity involvement with their kids, with sports and music, especially on weekends. The growth of club sports, a greater percentage of people working from home. And when the weekend comes, they want to get away from their workplace for the weekend. There's access to more and more churches online, and they're replacing actual attendance with watching online. The 9-to-5 job is diminishing, with a lot of people now working on the weekends. Some who used to work one job now work two. Children of divorce are only in town for half the weekends they used to be. And more people are having many vacations on the weekends with family and friends. Now, there's a whole lot of reasons. There's a whole lot of stuff, but the reality is we are forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And we are choosing other things over the commandments of God. One pastor I follow posted this on social media. He says, it's rather pathetic that Muslims pray five times a day and Christians have a hard time getting to church just once a week. Clearly, our culture is pulling away from this commandment of Scripture to meet together consistently and regularly. And you know what? The result is that we are distancing ourselves from each other, and we are distancing ourselves from God. The Scripture says, all the more as you see the day approaching, don't forsake the assemblies of yourselves together. He says, as you get closer and closer to the return of Christ, don't meet less often, meet more often. The problem is we're meeting less often, and what that means is people are falling away. Jesus said, in the last days, many will be deceived. Paul says that there will be a great falling away before the return of Jesus Christ. We are seeing it happen before our very eyes. But it's in the name of freedom. It's in the name of convenience. It's in the name of don't be legalistic, Pastor. I'm your pastor. I love you. My job is to see you in heaven. And so I'm going to do my very best to encourage you and today to warn you. That we need to be careful about the age that we live in and don't drink the Kool-Aid. Why is this so important? Carl Vaders wrote a book called New Small Church. He said, gathering together as the body of Christ is an absolutely essential element of any believer's life. I have never met a single believer who stopped or significantly diminished their church attendance without seeing a corresponding downward slide in the spirit in their spiritual lives. Not going to church is hazardous to your health. Now, let me be clear. Going to church should not be the whole of your Christian experience. You can't replace your walk. Going to church is not your walk with God. Oh, do you know God? Are you a Christian? Yeah, I go to church. It's more than that. You need a relationship with God. We talked about that last week. You need to talk to him, right? But going to church is part of it, and it's an important part of it. We need to recognize it, and not doing it is dangerous to our own spiritual health. So the obvious question then becomes, is this cultural phenomenon happening at our church? Is this lessening of commitment to the house of God, is it happening in Greenwood, Indiana? Is it happening here? Well, I would love to stand here and tell you that we are the exception. We're just that church. You know, we're more committed than anybody, and that may still be true. But I want to show you some numbers that may say something to you here today. I asked Alyssa, who takes care of our database, I said, would you take the attendance from last year? And remember, all the attendance I'm about to show you is based on those black books that we pass every service. And so you need to write your name down every time. That's the only way we can track. So if you didn't write it, you know, it's not going to be on there. So we realize there's a little bit of play with these numbers, so they're not hard and fast. But at the same time, it does give us a bit of a picture about our commitment to being part of the church. Anybody want to see these? Some of you are like, no. By the way, before I show you these, if you would like to know the number of Sundays you attended last year, I would be happy to share those with you. And all you have to do is send an email to arubel@graceassembly.org, A-R-U-B-L-E. Some of you should write this down. And just say, how many Sundays did I attend last year? And all she'll do is reply with a number. Okay? It's not like, you know, 27, shame on you. No, nothing like that. You know, 30, but you can do better. You know, no, nothing like, it's just going to be a number, okay? And if you're all, you know, wah, you know, just remember, it's the number of times you wrote your name down, okay? And so that's why it's so important. So here are the numbers. Watch this. We found that 16.9% of our church attended 39 or more Sundays last year, and that's 246 people who attend 75% or greater. So they come 3 out of 4 Sundays or more, 16% of our church. 23% attended 26 to 38 times Sundays. That's 347 individuals. So they're attending 2 to 3 Sundays a month. 22% attended 13 to 25 Sundays. That's 330 people. They attend 1 to 2 Sundays per month. And then the biggest number is 36% attended 3 to 13 Sundays, 533 people who attend less once or less per month. So when I look at that and I read Hebrews 10:25, I say, we have a problem. Something happened last year when we opened this worship center. Hang with me. It's a bigger space. It's almost twice the space that we had before. But we saw this phenomenon begin to take place more and more. You know, people were still part of our church. They just attended less and less. I don't know if it's the number of seats or, you know, people don't care, but I don't know. But we saw this begin to happen, especially last summer. And so this has been heavy in my spirit for a long time. And I'm standing up here to tell you simply that as we get closer and closer to the last days, the scripture says, don't attend less, attend more. Don't get together less, get together more often. Do you hear the warning of Scripture? For your sake, so that you will persevere, so that you will be encouraged, so that you will be part of the belonging of a family. Are you getting this today? That's what God wants us to have. Now, let me stop for a second for those of you that are all riled up. I can do it right back at you. Here's what I am not saying. I am not saying you can never take a vacation. That would be wrong. Now, that's not what I'm saying. Take a vacation, go. You should go to church, but just take a vacation. You know, there are times, you know, you got work, you got all this. I get all that. There's times. But what I'm trying to tell you to do, whatever that is for you, I want to encourage you to examine your commitment to your spiritual family and simply do what Jesus did. Well, what did Jesus do, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. In chapter 4, verse 16, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Jesus made it a habit to go to the house of God. Or to do what the early church did in Acts 2:46. They worshiped together at the temple each day, and then later it says, and they met in homes. Well, how often did the early church go to church? They went every day. Pastor, you're not serious. I am not. Well, I'm trying to say, if we're going to be more like them, we should be more often, not less often. Are you with me today? Someone wrote a book called No Shows. Great title for a book. Some pastors have observed that many members of their congregation identify themselves as regular churchgoers, even though they may attend only once or only twice a month or less. In earlier times, being a regular churchgoer meant coming to a worship service almost every Sunday. And I'd like to add to that, and Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and Thursday, and all this other stuff. Listen, I want you to compare your commitment to your spiritual family with your other commitments in your life. What if I just showed these numbers and your consistency at your job? Would you still have a job? Not unless you work for the government. Oh, I'm sorry. That's free. I'm so sorry. Or compare it to your commitment to your sports. You know, my son's coach has a rule. If one player is late for practice, everybody runs. Can you imagine what would happen if we enacted that rule here at church? It's 11 o'clock. 11:01. Dude comes in. Everybody up. Lap, lap. Left the church, left the church. Somebody be driving by down 31. Man, that church must still believe in Jericho marches. No, that pastor is crazy. One person was late, he made them all run laps. Today, I'm simply asking you, would you examine your commitment to your spiritual family? And would you ask the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, would you help me increase my commitment to my spiritual family? Because I believe he'll help you. I said, I believe he'll help you. Now, here's what I want to ask you to do today. In your message notes is this card. I'd like everybody to take it. On the title, it says Closer. And this is a faith promise card concerning drawing closer to God. Now, when we've had missions weeks and missions conventions, a lot of times at the end of those weeks, we'll have people fill out a faith promise card and say, you know, with God's help, I'm going to give $15 a week to missions. Or with God's help, I'm going to give $50 a month to missions. And you can see in your bulletin today, you know, that's how a large portion of our missionaries are supported, because people like you give above and beyond the tithe to help us support more than 200 missionaries and ministries, okay, through faith promises. And that just simply helps us keep our commitment. It's not a pledge, and nobody's going to call you and say, well, you didn't keep your commitment. It's simply saying, with God's help. I'd like you to make a faith promise today of getting closer to God. And it's going to look two ways. It's going to say, I'm going to have so many quiet times per week. We're talking about Bible study and prayer. We talked about that last week, right? And then I'm going to attend Grace Assembly of God so many Sundays this year. Now, I didn't put a number in there for you because I want you to put the number in there for you, okay? What you think that should be for you. And a lot of people's going to have some different considerations to take in. I get that. But what I'm going to ask you to do is increase what it was last year. Unless, you know, you're up in the high 40s, like my family is. We were 49. You know, we took 3 Sundays off. I hope that's okay. Yeah. You want the pastor taking some Sundays off, otherwise he'll be preaching crazy stuff. But anyway, so I want you to examine your heart on this And I'm going to say, I'm going to have so many quiet times per week, and I'm going to attend Grace Assembly of God so many Sundays this year. Now, Pastor, how does quiet times relate to going to church? Well, this is the value of studying the Bible, not just reading it. I read one of the commentaries about Hebrews 10:25. Look at what it says. He says, neglect of the house of God is the natural consequence of neglected devotions. Neglect of the house of God is the natural consequence of neglected devotions. They go together. When I'm closer to God, I'm going to be closer to God's family. When I'm closer to God's family, I'm going to be closer to God. So over these next few moments, I'm going to ask you to make a commitment to the Lord. And our usher's going to come and collect these, and you're going to put your name there. You're going to sign it. You're going to date it. We are not going to catalog these and track them and say, oh, you didn't do that. This is simply a faith promise. With God's help, I'm going to do this. Okay? Now, how do I draw closer to my spiritual family, specifically in the area of drawing closer to God consistently and regularly, doing what Hebrews 10:25 says? Just two simple things. Are you ready? Here's what I would specifically like you to do. Number one, just show up. Don't shout me down now. One of the most spiritual things you can do is just show up. I mean, you know, the most committed people, the most faithful people, the people who have the consecutive game streaks and all that, they have bad days, they have days they don't feel good, they have days it's inconvenient, they just show up. So I'm asking you, just show up. Just be here. Put it on your calendar if you have to. Make it a priority. You know, start actually thinking about church on Saturday night. Don't wake up on Sunday morning and say, well, I'll see how I feel. No! Make a decision. You have to let your kids close out the night before. Do it! Stop letting your circumstances dictate the quality of your spiritual life. You decide in advance. It's a priority in my life. This is what we will do. And the second thing I'd like you to do to come closer to your spiritual family, I'd like to ask everybody here to be part of what we are calling the Growth Track. The Growth Track is a series of classes that we have created to help people get connected, to help people learn each other, to learn about the vision of the church, to get involved, and to be part of what God's doing. And so it's a series of four classes, Grace 101, 201, 301, and 401, that a series of classes, 2 hours, 2 to 4 p.m. The first one is next Sunday of the year. And if you're not part of the church, if you're just new to the church, you're not a member of the church, let me encourage you to become a member, right? And go to the class. And you'll find out what that's all about. And then you're going to learn about spiritual disciplines. You're going to learn about your gifts and the ministries that are there and the way that the church of God, the church grows. So I want to encourage you to do that. And while you're considering that, in your program, in your bulletin today, there is a registration form for the next Growth Track, which just happens to be next Sunday at 2 o'clock, 2 to 4. And so you say, you know what? I believe you, Pastor. I believe God is speaking to me about drawing closer to God. So I'm going to do it. We've got a short video of some people sharing their thoughts about the Growth Track, the people who have experienced it, and what they have to say. Watch this.
What made you decide to attend the Growth Track in the first place?
Well, when we first heard of it, Pastor, we didn't know exactly what it was, but we wanted to make sure that, you know, we just followed in with the church's vision, what they had to offer in the program. So we wanted to come through, and we thought it would be a great opportunity to hook up with other families as well here.
I think for me, it was just important to be on the same page and of one accord with what's going on here at church. Even though I've been here for a long time, I think it's good to be reminded of why we do what we do, why we believe how we believe, why we behave how we behave. I think it's always good to go back to the fundamentals. So
we really wanted to serve God better and to serve others.
Wanted to make a commitment to the Lord that, you know, I was all in for worshiping Him and praising Him in whatever way He saw fit.
What have you gained from attending and going through the Growth Track?
Well, this may not be the most important thing, but immediately got to know people more on a hi, how are you basis.
Right.
We developed a closer relationship with the pastors here at Grace, and we also got a better sense of what our responsibility is as Christians to other people that are non-believers.
What did you gain by attending the Growth Track?
Again, been here for a very long time, but attending Grace Growth Track got to meet people that I maybe hadn't met before or knew vaguely but didn't really know.
About all the different ministries the church offers and the vision of the church and just our spiritual giftings and how we can use them in the body of Christ.
It strengthened my faith. I feel like in that commitment that I've made to attend church here and stay steady in His Word, that He's strengthening my faith.
How have you been able to help or to serve others since you attended the Grace Growth Track?
I think it probably helped me tune into more how God created me and the gifts that He has given me. I think I had an awareness of that before, but maybe a little bit more focused on how God wanted me to use those gifts.
I don't think I'm the only one. I think a lot of people, you know what your abilities are and what you like, and God says, my desires are your desires.
I'm a part of the awesome media team here. We put out the live web feed on Sundays, and every chance I get, I use that to, with the cards that they hand out, I let people know that they can get online.
Right through the Growth Track, we actually signed up for the Sanctuary Ministry of being able to greet everyone that comes in, and we just loved it.
What will you do with what you gained from attending, or how will you apply what you've learned?
Since we've completed all four classes, we now serve in four different areas.
Awesome.
And we enjoy it, and we're doing it together too, so that's been helpful.
We opened a food pantry. We went, and the Lord began to stir our hearts about that, and so we went to the Activate Pastor, Pastor Jason, and shared our what we thought the Lord was saying to us, and He activated us right into ministry. So
we're much more intentional about speaking about God in our church and everyday conversations with coworkers, anything like that. So
I would say whether you've been coming 2 or 3 weeks or 6 months, go to Grace 101.
He's strengthening my faith, and it grows every day. And I have one more class to take, and I'm excited and waiting for that class.
So who should attend the Growth Track? Who? Everybody. If you've been coming to our church 20-some years, or hold up a second, ushers, hold up a second, okay? If you've been attending for, this is your first time, listen, we want to encourage everybody to go through the Growth Track. Now, I believe that as we get closer and closer to the return of Jesus Christ, that the Church of Jesus Christ should be more committed to God and to one another than ever before. How many believe that? And how many would agree that even though this message is a little different, we need to hear it? Four of you. I'm glad that we heard this today, because God loves us. So I want you to take this card in your hand, and hopefully you put a number on both of those things, and hopefully you signed it and you've dated it. And I'd like to lead you in a simple prayer that goes like this. Pray with me. Dear God, I want to draw closer to You in 2015. Help me do that. Would You help me meet with You privately more often in my quiet times? And show me how to do that. And would You help me be more consistent with my church family and make it a priority? Because at the end of the day, You are the answer for everything I need. Help me, God. With Your help, I will do these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, these ushers are going to collect these cards and your sign up for the Growth Track. As we sing this song, give them with faith today. God bless you.